We are here with Beverly Kay, who is an expert in retention, engagement, and career development, and has written a fantastic book, now in its fourth edition, called Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. And she's more than just an author. You know, she's the founder and CEO of Career Systems International, which consults and leadership coaching and training to myriad, hundreds of companies, number of whom you know. So with that, Bev, thank you again for being here. And, you know, we talked last segment about getting people to stay. And can you tell us a little bit more in terms of, is it just a money thing that gets people to stay? Or what is it that is really at the heart of retention?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's definitely more than money. In fact, in our research and in, you know, everybody else's, the surprise is always that money never turns out to be the number one reason I stay. It might be the number one reason I go or why I say I'm going. But when we looked at over 20,000 people to begin our research, we found that they stay really. The number one factor was if my job is challenging and exciting. Number two, if I'm learning and I feel like my career is going somewhere. And number three, I stay if I get to work with some great people. Pay was usually not number one, two, or three. Now, pay will come into the picture and go up higher if, in fact, I'm not learning. If, in fact, my job isn't challenging. In fact, I don't have the attention of my boss. I don't feel I work with some great people. Then pay becomes more important. And pay becomes more important if I'm not appreciated or thanked for my good work. Then my paycheck is the only thing that tells me I'm doing a good job. So if, in fact, we really look at the factors that cause people to stay and go, it is attention from their manager. It is a job that is nourishing and exciting and challenging where I'm learning. And it is the chance to work in an environment that I really look forward to coming to.
So do you think that companies really, I mean, there's been a lot of studies out that validate what you're just saying. Do companies, senior management, really get this?
You know, I think some do and some don't. Maybe the ones who do are the ones who have lost precious talent. Either they've left, you know, that manager, or they've become less engaged. You know, they used to be excited about the work, and now they're just like doing the minimum. I think when a manager looks at their team and says, gee, I've lost some great talent, or my team isn't producing the way it used to, then the manager is experiencing their own pain, and maybe it's a wake-up call.
Mm.
And I think sometimes it takes that to put a manager, you know, on their own edge, to be more aware of what's going on. And I think many managers, unfortunately, think there's plenty of talent out there. So no big deal if I lose this one, I'll get someone else.
So what is your recommendation on a proactive level? Because not everybody wants to go down the path of experiencing that, you know, the pain of loss in order to learn the lessons.
Well, here's one idea that all your listeners can do immediately. And here's the way I'd set it up. When do you think most managers ask the question, what can I do to keep you? Because asking that question is critical. What can I do to keep you? You're important to me. I don't want to lose you. When do those words come out of managers' mouths?
When the employee has given 2 weeks' notice.
Exactly. At the exit interview, you know, when they're giving notice, when they're at the exit interview, etc. So what we are suggesting is something very simple. We're saying, forget those exit interviews. Start doing stay interviews. Start asking people often, what can I do to keep you? What's important to you? what really matters. Because, boy, you are critical to this team, and I don't want to lose you. And it's a simple question. And when I ask managers what makes it hard to ask, the answer is, if I ask people, what can I do to keep you, they'll tell me something that I can't do. And then I've opened a Pandora's box. They'll say more money or that job or that, you know, piece of equipment, and then I'm really stuck. And what we say is, no, you're not stuck. The question is to ask, to tell the truth, I can't deliver on that right now. I'd love to, I can't. Tell me what else is important. What else matters? Because I'm determined to understand some of the things that really matter to you and some of the things that I can influence. Because, boy, I don't want to lose you. And then you get into a whole different level of conversation all around the question, what else matters?
We're here with Beverly Kay, who clearly is one sharp cookie here, as well as somebody who has just a big heart, where you actually do understand and realize that we're all human beings here, and people want to be cared for, they want to be appreciated, and nurtured as well as challenged. So that makes so much sense, and it sounds so obvious. You mentioned in your book something about re-recruiting. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're kind of referring to here? How you're recruiting your current employees to continue to stay? Or
yes, in a way that is. And in a way, it's, you know, it doesn't. It can be asked in any number of ways. You know, the great re-recruiting question is this job what you hoped it would be when you took it? You know, are we coming through on our promises? Because one of the big reasons new recruits leave, and a lot of organizations have trouble keeping their new recruits, is that the picture the recruiter painted isn't so. Whatever that picture was, it's not coming true. And unfortunately, we don't learn that until it's too late and the person's out the door. But what is the picture the recruiter painted that is being delivered? And what is the picture the recruiter painted that just is not being delivered?
You know, that's a great question. In fact, I'd invite everybody to consider, even if you're retired, that's a great question to ask of your spouse. Because I got to tell you, Bev, you know, when I looked at the title of the book, Love Him or Lose Him, the first thing I thought about is marriage.
Right.
If you don't love your spouse,
right,
you're going to lose him, right?
And
you know, and this question is just as relevant in one's personal life as it is professional.
It is. It's, you know, honey, I love this relationship. You know, what could I do to make it even better? Or what are you not getting from me? It's a scary question to ask.
Mm.
You know, what am I not delivering,
right,
that you wish I would?
Which, of course, is no guarantee that you're going to deliver.
Right.
But at least it's a great place to start with conversation, with honesty and truthfulness.
Exactly.
And it certainly shows that you care.
And I think maybe the punchline to all this is conversation.
Mm.
It is about having a conversation. It is about looking into the other person's eyes. It is about giving it time. It is about saying, stopping from the crazed, busy lives we live and saying, I care. I care enough to stop and really listen to you and what it is you need and what it is you want. Because meeting those needs and wants, you know, are going to keep you on my team and in this organization. And when I say on my team, I think the best of managers know that sometimes you have to let a person go in order to grow. And what I want to do is I want to keep talent for the good of my organization and not just for my department. I met a lot of people who left organizations because they felt their managers hoarded their talent.
Mm.
And they left for a similar job in another organization where they felt they had more freedom to make change. So I think that's important, too.
We're here with Beverly Kay, who has a number of pearls of wisdom here a number of which are emanating from her book, Love 'Em or Lose 'Em, Getting Good People to Stay. She co-authored it with Sharon Jordan Evans. And Bev, you talk about not just communication and asking some of these deeper questions of relationship, but also the importance of fun at work.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think that we're seeing more and more that people expect work to be an enjoyable place to come to. I mean, and fun at work does not necessarily mean, ha-ha, who tells the best jokes at work? Fun at work means that there are times when we are lighter. There are times when we do play with each other in the very best sense of the word. There are times when, laughing about something is the greatest way to let go of stress. And fun at work, you know, doesn't mean a skit or a, joke telling. It is stopping for pizza. It is, a manager who gives an employee, a fun little tchotchke that says thank you. It's all those things and brings a smile to someone's face. So more and more, I think, especially with the Gen Yers, we want to see people, enjoy work and be able to laugh and be able to play a bit. And the more you play a bit, the more you work harder, I think.
Well, it certainly creates a little more energy. I mean, I remember the Shining, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Right.
I'm not saying that people are going, maniacal out there, but to the extent it's not fun, I could see where not only are stress levels higher, which of course could have physical implications for your
mm-hmm.
health, but also just the energy level.
Right.
That you, and the attention right. span that you have.
Right.
I got to believe is, can be minimized.
Right. You know, in the Love 'Em book, Sharon and I tell a lot of, we call them alas stories. Alas stories are, the fish that got away. And I think in the Kicks chapter, we talk about some employees who had stepped out of their office at one point and were laughing about a story one of them told. And their boss stuck his head out and said, "I don't pay you for that." And shortly afterwards, all three of them left. And it was just a sad story about, a boss who said, this is not acceptable here. And I think that work is so much intruding into life that it's getting very hard to separate the two. I think we have to go with it instead of going against it.
Well, I think conversely, we are so used to at least doing our best to compartmentalize who we are away from work versus who we are at work,
mm-hmm.
which to a large degree is folly because, mm-hmm. If we have problems at home, we think we can check them at the door mm-hmm. when we get into the office, but not always. And,
right.
And vice versa, if things are really hard at work
right.
and challenging with the boss or what have you, when we go home, it's kind of hard to be lovey-dovey and playful.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't switch mm-hmm. it on and off. So
right.
I think your point is extremely well taken.
Right, right. And it's true. It's, it is a place to do what I love doing and to do it with people that I love being with. And if I'm doing what I love doing with people I love being with, why would I leave?
Exactly. We've got one more question, Bev. Things have been going so fast here. We've got one more question before we let you go here. And especially in these challenging times, and they are challenging and economically, and they may get tougher before they get easier. What would you offer up as some words of advice both to employers and employees to keep in mind at this time?
I think I'd say to employers that it's no longer the golden rule, which says, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's the platinum rule that says, do unto others as they want to be done to. So the key role for the manager is to ask, what's important? What really matters? Tell me, because, boy, I want to make this environment work for you. And I think for the employee, it is, don't expect your manager to read your mind. You know, you need to ask for what you want. You need to ask for it in such a way that you give your manager some choices in how he or she can help you deal with it. You don't ask as a demand. And we talk about that in the sequel to Love 'Em, which is called Love It, Don't Leave It.
Mm.
26 ways to get what you want at work.
Beverly Kay, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
You are welcome. My pleasure.
We have more Wealth to Share right here on KNEW, 910 AM, San Francisco.